early in the morning on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, January 18th. About 50 people gathered at Sisters of the Road Cafe in Portland to eat breakfast burritos and then set out on a road trip. Their destination? San Francisco, and a protest for civil rights and affordable housing organized by the Western Regional Advocacy Project, RAP. As a member of RAP, Sisters of the Road also was an organizer of the rally. They planned to coincide with the anniversary of Obama's inauguration, January 20th. Here is the list of demands from RAP. On housing, restore all federal affordable housing funding to 1978 levels. Stop the demolition or conversion of any publicly funded unit until federal law guarantees for one-to-one replacement at existing affordability rates. And adequately fund operations of existing public housing. On civil rights, stop police and business zone programs that criminalize people experiencing homelessness and poverty, people of color, and people with disabilities. Call for the Department of Justice to investigate discriminatory police enforcement that targets marginalized community members. Ensure the more than 914,000 homeless children in our public schools are able to stay at their home school and are fully supported to learn and thrive. Stop all questions regarding immigration status when people seek housing, health care, emergency shelter, or services. Tonight on Circle A Radio, you'll hear from some of the Portlanders who have participated in the movement-building trip to San Francisco, as well as some of the people they met along the way. We'll also update you on the current situation in the Rose City. This show is a collaboration between Right to Survive, R2S, an organization led by homeless and formerly homeless human rights advocates, and Circle A Radio. Stay tuned. Our first stop is Ashland, Oregon, where the caravan was welcomed with dinner and a panel discussion at the community center.
This is R2S Radio. It's going to be on cable, and I'd like you to state your name.
Heather Robertson.
Why did you decide to come to San Francisco, Heather?
I decided to come to San Francisco because I work at the Downtown Chapel and have been looking for a way to get more involved in advocacy issues around the issues a lot of our guests deal with. And so this opportunity came up to go with Sisters of the Road to San Francisco to support the affordable housing issue. And so I'm serving as kind of representative from the Downtown Chapel to help out with that.
I'm Paris. Well, at first I came because it was a free trip, for one, to get out of Portland. But actually, no, I want to learn more about homeless and more about housing for the homeless and helping people, and seems like a good cause.
My name's Monica Beamer. I work at Sisters of the Road. I've been so excited to come on this trip because it just feels great to be a part of the Western Regional Advocacy Project and to bring our community together to join with other communities on the West Coast that are working on solutions to homelessness at the root and not just addressing the symptoms. And it's important to take care of each other, but we need to make sure that we're looking at the causes of homelessness and demanding that those get addressed, because they can be, and there's no reason why it shouldn't happen.
My name is TJ.
Why did you decide to come on this trip to San Francisco?
To hopefully get some low-cost housing for the homeless, and hopefully get them to realize that there are also felons out there that can't afford normal housing.
Mom, my name is Rachel Hadley.
Rachel Hadley, and why you decide to come on this trip?
Because I wanted to help represent the homeless of Portland, Oregon, and around the world, to help people understand that just because you're homeless doesn't mean you have drug issues or you're a criminal. I mean, I don't have any criminal issues. I don't have any drug issues. There are other issues outside of those type of things that cause people to become homeless in the first place. Lack of funding, lack of jobs. There's all sorts of issues that cause it.
I'm Nathan Holst. I just started getting connected to Sisters of the Road a couple weeks ago, starting as an intern of social work from Portland State. Basically just found out about this action recently, and I thought that it's a great action to take, and I'm learning as I'm going, and basically I'm here to support all the folks that have done a lot of work and to listen some more to people that are going here.
Okay, Amanda, why did you decide to come to San Francisco?
I decided to come on this trip and everything because the very simple fact that after sleeping outside, I feel that everybody, and all, regardless of their lifestyle, being out here on the streets, should have the right to affordable housing and the right to feel safe and all with a roof over their heads.
What is your personal experience with homeless?
That could even go as far back as being back home in Tampa. When I was sleeping underneath one of the bridges back home, I wound up getting raped that very same night. It's not safe for anybody out here, whether you're male or female.
Personally, I've never lived on the street myself. I guess the closest thing that I have is I worked in Washington, D.C. for a couple years, and I worked at a breakfast program as a case manager. So a lot of the folks that came in lived in shelters and lived on the street. So I got to know a little bit about their lives in those 2 years that I was there.
You all are homeless family. Are you all staying in the same place?
At the shelter that we're staying at currently, you're allowed to get in as a couple and stay in the same space. You know, there's no sexual contact allowed, which is kind of hard for some people, but, you know, they have their rules for good reasons because there are males there, too, that may not understand how to keep themselves at bay, if you will. So what they want to do is make sure that it's a safe environment for all. So, you know, and sometimes that stuff causes DV issues. So what they do is they, you know, have certain rules like nonviolence, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And they do let us stay in the same area, but it's general living because it's like other people in the same space. You don't get your own little room. You have to sleep in like an 11-by-7 room, little office cubicle type thing with three other couples nearby. So it's not exactly private living, but it's somewhere to stay out of the rain. So
what you're saying is they don't have enough homeless shelter for families.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't even have enough homeless shelters just for single couples. I mean, like couples without children. So if you're a couple that is on the streets that is just a man and a wife, or a girlfriend and a boyfriend, per se, or same gender, they don't provide for people that are without kids as much as they do for people with children, which is understandable because children are a very important factor, but they need to take into account that there are people out there that need housing and resources that don't have children.
What is your personal experience with homeless?
Oh, a lot of people look at us like we're parasites when they look at us because we're walking around all day long and some are asking for change. And it gets kind of hard out there because there's like no, if you don't have a normal address, you can't get a job hardly.
What is your personal experience with homelessness, if any?
I have not ever personally experienced homelessness. I consider myself to be very fortunate in many ways, but it's important for me to make sure that I am a good ally and to use my good fortune to create change.
Oh, I am homeless. Yeah. I've been homeless for about 3 months now. You know, Portland has really, really good programs, but maybe not enough housing. I don't know, you know, like anything about like the housing market or... I don't know that much about Portland. You know, like I said, I've only been here a short while.
What is your personal experience with homelessness?
Like I said, I work at the Downtown Chapel, which is a Catholic parish in Portland, and we have a hospitality center which serves a lot of the homeless or nearly homeless population in Portland. So I work with them on a daily basis.
What are your feelings about going to San Francisco?
I am extremely excited. I've been really trying to expand my exposure to getting involved in the legislative side of issues regarding homelessness, and so this is kind of my first opportunity to do that.
How are your feelings about going to San Francisco?
I'm excited about this and everything. This is a big step, and also since I've been part of CAG and Sisters and everything since I've been here in Portland. And just the buzz and the energy and the adrenaline of what we're doing is just a major rush.
What do you expect?
I expect this to come through and everything. I expect that everybody could see our point of view of what we're trying to do and what our point of the whole protest is.
You're listening to Circle A Radio on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight, we're bringing you interviews from our road trip, sponsored by Sisters of the Road, to join the rally for affordable housing and civil rights. Back to our interviews conducted by Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive in Ashland, Oregon, en route to San Francisco.
Right now I'm a little bit tired because we just drove, but it was a beautiful drive. We saw lots of beautiful countryside and had a fun time. And I'm really excited about tomorrow and super excited about the day after, hoping that thousands of people will show up and make sure that we demand what makes sense.
How are you feeling about going down to San Francisco?
I'm excited. I think that it's going to do a lot of good. I think that it's important for people to see that it's not just, like I said, the stereotypical drug addict, criminal, weird people, mental health issue people, you know. There's all sorts of different people of different demographics, racial backgrounds and ethnicities and social problems, you know. And I haven't been there, so it'd be kind of nice to see something new, you know. Okay. Born and raised in Oregon all my life.
I'm feeling good. There's a lot of energy that's coming together. I'm really excited. This is my first real action that I've been a part of. So I think, yeah, I'm feeling really good about it, and I'm excited.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm stoked.
What do you expect?
I've been to San Francisco before, but this is my first time participating in anything, you know, like this, like rap.
What do you want to happen?
Change. I hope that, you know, I get to learn a lot, you know, learn more than what I know. Like I say, you know, I want to learn more about, like, this housing issue.
What do you want to happen?
I would like to see the funding go back for affordable housing and kind of all the points that we've been working on as a campaign, as a group, in terms of calling the current administration to be accountable for making housing be a right.
Yeah, I expect to feel a sense of togetherness and, yeah, a sense of energy, and I hope that there will be a lot of people there.
What do you want to happen?
I would love for there to be some concrete action out of this, concrete consequences of people who are able to change and make policies on affordable housing so that affordable housing is more available to people. I would love that to be a direct consequence of this.
Do you have any one last word? Would you like to say anything personal or how you feel or anything?
What I'd say is, as a person who hasn't experienced homelessness, I'm excited to listen and to learn and to be as supportive as possible.
What do you expect out of the outcome?
One of the things that will happen and that we'll work on is to just continue to build the movement together, to continue to work on in many different fronts for civil rights and housing for everyone.
What do you want to happen?
I want them to listen to us and actually take action towards what we're saying and actually get it to where everyone has equal opportunity to have housing and actually get off the streets, because there's a lot of homeless people in Portland, Oregon. A lot of us.
Is there anything personal you want to say?
I'm very happy right now. I'm around a whole bunch of nice people. You know, it's a lot of love. And I don't know. I hope that more events like this come about in the future, you know? And I hope that this actually does what it set out to do, you know, which is help people. I'm all for that.
I want this to be seen as a fight for something that is right. Everybody deserves a home. Let the passion for what we're doing just drive us all to succeed.
You're listening to Circle A Radio. Tonight we're bringing you audio from our trip to San Francisco to rally for affordable housing and civil rights for all. You just heard interviews conducted by Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive with members of the 40-person caravan after a day of traveling from Portland to Ashland. We also had an opportunity to talk with a couple of Southern Oregon community members. Here's what they had to say. Okay, so if you'll just start out by introducing yourself and why you're here today.
Yeah. My name is Dot Fisher-Smith, and I live in Ashland, Oregon, and I was drawn to come to this event, the enthusiasm of people who really care about adequate housing and homes and are concerned with the basic issue of poverty and neglect of all the people in this country. I feel it's time to do something, for me, to do something about that. And I'm happy that the people from Portland are stirring us up here and going to San Francisco. And already I'm inspired by the notion of getting in their faces. And I loved what Rich Rohde said about doing civil disobedience, but doing it in a way that it alerts the officials and the electorate so that it's all connected, that we're doing this because we care about democracy and about being congruent with the values that this country was founded on that have been overpowered by big corporations and the whole capitalist system, which is, as Dorothy Day said, rotten to the core.
My name is Ibrahim Mubarak, and once again, I'm talking to you for the Homeless Advocate Group R2S radio show for KBOO. I have a young lady here from Medford, Oregon, and your name is?
Kristen Dominguez.
Okay, Kristen, why did you decide to come to this meeting for San Francisco RAP?
Primarily because I've decided to do something about it. My family is currently still homeless, but we're getting close to it. But we've been homeless for over a year and a half. And we discovered that there's not a lot of resources for homeless families. Even with my husband and myself both being veterans, there still were very, very limited resources for homeless families. And families are the core of our society. We need to do something about it.
What is your personal experience with homelessness?
Well, it wasn't because I didn't want to work. Like a lot of people think it's what a lot of people are homeless, they just don't want to work. I have fibromyalgia, which has been a downhill spiral for my family, and I wasn't able to do what I love to do to make money. And so we lost almost everything, and we were homeless for almost a year and a half.
How are you feeling with this organization, with communities from the West and the Northwest meeting in San Francisco?
Oh, I think it's a very important movement, and definitely crucial, especially right now with everything that's going on in our country and all the people that are being affected, and the way it's affecting the very core of our foundation.
What do you expect the meeting to be like?
I hope they really get the powers that be, so to speak, attention and direct it towards doing something on a stronger, more proactive way, and also doing something to prevent these things from happening to families.
What do you want to happen?
What I want to happen is in the next year, I'd like to get 100 homeless families off the street and into permanent housing.
You just heard from Kristen Dominguez and Dot Fisher-Smith. Recorded in Ashland on January 18th. Next up, we bring you speeches and interviews from the Rally for Affordable Housing and Civil Rights in San Francisco on KBOO 90.7 in Portland.
It's right before our eyes, everybody gon' get to see a moment in time that defines our history, centuries in the making, and we got power. This is a demonstration. Get with rap and avoid the trap, cause permanent housing ain't gon' fall in your lap. You gotta be committed to go out and get it. Don't be scared, don't be timid, don't fall for the gimmicks that they throw in your face to put a hold on the cake, cause at that point, they in control of your fate. 50 million unaccounted for, that's the trigger thoughts in the mind of everybody around the globe. In San Francisco at the federal building, this'll be a chance for you to tell them your feelings. Who? The president. We need residents. We know you got the power, so don't play with our intelligence. We need everybody to embrace this movement, because it's a human right to have a place to move in.
I want to thank you all for being here, because, you know, we was all set and we was planning a three-hour rally party at the federal building, and they pulled our permit and kicked us the hell out and said they didn't want to see us, they didn't want to hear us. We changed our plans, we pulled this together, and we are going to go and say, no permit, no peace.
No permit, no peace.
No permit, no peace.
Estamos aquí reunidos hoy con mucha energía. Hoy estábamos planeando un día de acción en el edificio federal y nos quitaron los permisos, pero eso no nos va a detener. No permiso, no paz. No permiso, no paz.
Our brothers and sisters last night busted into and took over the empty Hibernia Bank building.
Nuestra gente ayer marchó y tomó poder sobre el banco.
And they got busted this morning at 3 o'clock, and they're sitting in jail, and they did that to be a part of what we are standing for today.
Tomaron el edificio del banco y ahora están en la cárcel esta mañana peleando por la misma causa que nosotros.
So be proud, enjoy this hour, and then we're gonna start marching.
Estén orgullosos y vamos a seguir luchando y marchando.
Give Paul Bolton a round of applause, y'all.
Un aplauso.
Frontline soldier. I want you to do something for me real quick.
Quiero que hagan algo ahorita. Miren a su vecino y digan, esto es mucho más que una marcha.
And I want you to look to the person next to you, look that person in the eye, and say, much more than a march.
Mucho más que una marcha.
I want you to say, it's a movement.
Es un movimiento.
That movement you feel under your feet, that's people power.
El movimiento que sienten debajo de sus pies es el movimiento del poder.
And I know we in Cali, and I know it's about earthquakes.
Y yo sé que estamos en California y sabemos de los temblores.
But this is a people quake, y'all.
Pero este es un temblor de la gente.
So it's much more than a march.
Es mucho más que una marcha y una protesta.
Yeah, Fresno's in the house. I'm Al Williams with the Free United Homeless Coalition, also a named plaintiff in the lawsuit against the city of Fresno for destroying homeless people's property, resulted in $2.35 million, the largest lawsuit in the history of the United States. And we are working on another one because the police department has refused to understand a federal judge ruling not to destroy people's property. On the 6th of January of this year, we went to F Street in Ventura to protect some homeless people's property. And while we were there, they destroyed other homeless people's property in a different area, in the Parkside area. The ACLU has stood behind us continuously, and that's one of our major assets that we all have, and we should all remember that. The ACLU is on our side, always have been and always will be. The thing we cannot do is forget, we cannot give up, we gotta keep on fighting, and as long as we keep on fighting, we will survive. I come up here to kick ass, and that's what I'm gonna do. I didn't come down here to play. We came up here to take care of business, and take care of business we shall do. God bless.
That's what I'm talking about. See, we don't have those big names up here. We ain't looking for spokespeople that are gonna lead our movement. We're all leaders. We all gonna lead this movement together. Is that right? Y'all a little quiet. Is that right? Yeah, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's what's required. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
My name is Ibrahim Mubarak, and I'm here in San Francisco, California, at the rap rally. What group you are from?
We are from the SRO Families United. We are a citywide collaborative working with families with children under 18 that lives in single-room occupancy hotels.
And I would like to know you all's names.
I'm Helen Wu.
You are you?
Sagan Lee.
Jay.
We are supporting the goals we want to push for in this rally. We have a lot of families without homes, housing, so we want more affordable housing. We have a lot of people living in single-room occupancy hotels. That's why it's really critical to help that.
Now, what is your personal experience with homelessness?
We have a lot of families living in single-room occupancy hotels. Some of them have four kids and a couple. They all live in a 10-by-10 room, sharing kitchen, bathroom and things. And sometimes we have parents and teenagers. They share a bunk bed. So there's no privacy, and it's very difficult.
How are you feeling about being here?
你覺得你自己嚟參加點樣？你心情點咧？而家咁，我哋嚟參加係嚟支持嗰啲。We are glad to be here to be part of the march.
我哋會諗到，譬如我哋呢個遊行呢會。
We hope that the president, the city, the federal government will hear us that we need to do something about homelessness.
咁我希望呢就起多啲 affordable housing for the family because we have a lot of the new immigrant. They don't speak English. English is second language. We cannot find a good job. Not enough money to learn the decent house. I hope the government to build a more the affordable housing for the SL family.Thank you.
踏入咗2010年嘅新年裏邊，咁希望。
I want to say a New Year's greeting, to say hi to, especially new immigrants from China, and I hope everyone would have enough work, food, and have a good year this year.
仲有。有咧，奧巴馬嗰個前民嗰個醫療計劃，希望佢成功，咁啊幫到我哋低層嘅人士。
We hope Obama's healthcare plan would be a good one, that could help people, especially people who have very low income.
We gonna keep this going, y'all. We gonna bring up John Krantz. I hope I said that right. From Shock, Safe Ground, Sacramento. Give him a round of applause. He told me a second ago that he had butterflies.But I let him know he was around friends. I let him know that we in the trenches with him on a daily basis. So bring it for John.
Hi, I'm John from Safe Ground Sacramento. I came down here with a simple message today. You are the leaders you've been looking for. Repeat after me. We are the leaders we've been looking for. Come on, they're hard of hearing down there. We got to be louder. We are the leaders we've been looking for.
We are the leaders we've been looking for.
You know, they told us today we couldn't have a permit to go down to the federal building. Who the hell do they think they are? They work for us. We don't work for them. We're going to go down there today and tell our employees what we want them to do. And we better speak up.Because these people, they don't hear very well.
That's right.
We've been talking to them for decades, and they don't get it.
That
ain't
right.
Maybe they don't hear so good. Maybe they're a little slow. So let's say it real simple and real slow. What do we want? And when do we want it? What do we want? And when do we want it?
Now!
Coming up to the stage next is Alma Blackwell from Just Cause Oakland.
Hello everyone, how are you today?
Hola a todos, ¿cómo están?
My name is Alma Blackwell and I'm a member of Just Cause Oakland and I live in Oakland.
Yo soy Alma Blackwell, soy miembro de Causa Justa en Oakland y ahí vivo.
I have lived in Oakland for all my life and I became involved in Just Cause when my house was threatened or jeopardized by Oakland Housing Authority's disposition plan.
Yo he vivido en Oakland toda mi vida y me involucré en la causa justa en la organización cuando vi que mi vivienda la estaba en peligro a perder por una reorganización de la vivienda pública.
Just Cause is a member-based organization in Oakland and San Francisco in fighting for human rights and housing justice, and we believe that housing is a human right, and we are fighting to stop gentrification and displacement and for government to reinvest and rebuild our communities.
All right.Causa Justa es una organización de base en Oakland y San Francisco que lucha por los derechos de vivienda y por la justicia porque creemos que la vivienda es un derecho humano y estamos luchando para impedir el aburguesamiento y para que el gobierno reinvierta y reconstruya nuestras comunidades.
In our fight, we have fought against the disposition of public housing in Oakland in 2008 and we fought to save 1,600 units of scattered sites from being put into the private market.
En nuestra lucha, hemos luchado en contra de la disposición de vivienda pública en Oakland. En 2008, luchamos para salvaguardar 1,600 unidades de vivienda que iban a poner al mercado privado en vez de continuar siendo vivienda pública.
Now those units are project-based Section 8, and we are still fighting for those units to stay affordable in the long term.
Ahora esas viviendas son Sección 8 a base del proyecto y seguimos en la lucha para que esas viviendas sean accesibles a la comunidad.
HUD is also dispossessing the public housing in Berkeley. As we speak, public housing tenants are coming together to stop this and demand their rights to housing.
La Autoridad de Vivienda también se está deshaciendo de unidades de vivienda pública en Berkeley y estamos luchando en contra de eso.
It is important that we all support each other in this fight to make housing a human right and to demand that there's housing for all people.
Es importante que nos apoyemos unos a otros en esta lucha por la vivienda para asegurar que la vivienda sea para toda la gente.
So we are tired of being pushed out of our neighborhoods.
Ya basta de que nos saquen de nuestros vecindarios.
We are tired of our homes and our future housing stability being in the hands of someone else.
Ya basta de que nuestras viviendas estén en manos de otras personas.
We are tired of greed and capital gain being more important than human needs and human rights.
Ya basta de esta situación donde la avaricia y las ganancias son más importantes que las necesidades humanas.
We are tired and we won't take it anymore.
Ya estamos hartos.
So the people are here, we are united and we will fight back.
El pueblo aquí está, el pueblo está unido y vamos a hacer la lucha.
The time is now to stand united and fight for our rights together.
Es la hora de unirnos y luchar juntos por nuestros derechos.
Just Cause is with you in this fight for housing justice and we will continue to fight for our rights to stay and our human rights to housing.
Causa Justa está con ustedes en esta lucha y seguiremos en la lucha por los derechos de la vivienda y el derecho a permanecer en nuestras viviendas. Gracias.
Okay, I'm Ibrahim Mubarak from R2S Radio and complement of KBOO Radio out of Portland, Oregon. It's a very diverse rally. So here we have, I'm going to have the people say their names, and we have...
Sharon Taylor.
Jesse Brandon.
My name is Dreamer.
Why did you decide to come on this trip?
Because it's very necessary that people have a home or some type of housing and not sleep on the streets.
I came for more reason than one. We need housing, but also there are people that are never going to go in homes. There are people that for whatever reason, has been affected by something that happened in their life, so they need a safe ground where they can sleep, even though they don't want to go into an apartment complex. So, you know, our history, we have to look at that also.
Because I was once homeless for 23 years, and the sidewalk was my bed.
Can you tell us, each one of us, your personal experience with homelessness?
Sure. I ended up homeless because of my drug addiction. And I was in my drug addiction for 23 years. And during that 23 years, I left my family and went out into the streets. But then I knew that I didn't want to live like that for the rest of my life. So my higher power that I believed in told me to pick up my bed and walk. And I got myself into a drug program, Homeless Healthcare of Los Angeles. And it was a one-year program, but I stayed a year and a half because I was scared. And then from there, I ended up just sober, and now I'm going to college, and I've been at Pasadena City College for 4 years, and I'll be transferring over to UCLA. But I don't forget the people who are still sleeping on the sidewalks.
My journey was a little bit different. I lost my job, and my unemployment was exhausted, so I ended up homeless. And I finished a women's empowerment program, which was a job readiness program. And I seen the condition of the homeless people and the mistreatment of them. And me, personally, I want to be a voice and a homeless advocate so that I can fight for those that can't fight for themselves.
Well, mine is a little different, too. Mine started with a domestic thing, and then it went on to whereas I was being harassed in the apartment complex by the maintenance man, so I decided to leave. So that's where I am right now.
I feel great because I know I'm giving back, and hopefully that our voices together, I believe united we stand, divided we fall. And as all of us are out here today, I believe that we all taking the stand to at least raise our voices to the federal government, let them know this homelessness in this country need to stop.
I feel great. I believe that I'm making a difference, and change has to start somewhere, and I believe it's going to start here today.
Yes, we need safe houses, we need safe places, and we need jobs.
I don't know if I mentioned it to y'all, but I'm one of the co-founders of Dignity Village in Portland, Oregon. And what we did, we took land, and then we negotiated with the city. How do y'all feel about tent cities?
I'm for it.
Tent city, I think it's very necessary right now. You know, there's not enough shelters. In some of the shelters, you know, you get kicked out if you do something wrong, so therefore you end up back on the street.
I feel that Tent City is necessary because a lot of people will not live inside. I know one person who had a puppy, and they did not want to leave their puppy or their little dog. And so they had someone that they were safe with, and they had to be on the street because you can't come into shelters with a dog or any kind of pet. And there's not enough shelters available for all the people that are out on the street.
Not only that, when doing Dignity Village, we allowed pets to come in. We allowed it couples and family to stay also. You think that's something necessary here?
Oh, yeah. I have been hearing, talking to women who have said they wouldn't even let their teenage kids, boys, come in to the shelter. The teenage boys, they wanted to put them in foster home. They wanted the people just to get rid of their boys. That is a disgrace to the country. What do you do? You want to throw away our boys to separate family? You can't do that. And that is not God-like and it's not human rights.
The little boys are being separated out of the family because of at age 14, and so you're not considered a family anymore. So when the young men go into the men's shelters, one particular young man was raped. And so we do need to be able to keep families together, and it's very important that they're able to protect the boys.
I don't believe families should be divided.
I just think it's a shame that the women are becoming victims. We are the ones that have to take care of the children. When the children are being destroyed, it destroys the country. So too long we have sit back and did nothing. Too long we have just said, you know, it's not my family. And then until it come, become your family. But really, we do have an obligation to each other to help and to speak out against certain things. Because sometimes you can't speak for yourself. We really do need someone else to speak for us. Because, you know, people look at you cross-eyed. God have given different people favor to be able to speak up. And we thank God for you all just being here and all these people.
Yes. What do you expect from this rally?
A change. We really need a change in what's happening. Somebody to really have a heart. And we know it's not going to come overnight. It would be nice if it would come overnight, but it's not going to happen like that. But little by little, it is happening. But we do need safe ground. We really need somebody to really take issue and give us a building or something that will help the people.
I expect change. My sign says house keys, not handcuffs. Yes. I believe affordable housing is necessary,
yes,
and we do need that in order to get off the streets.
Amen.
I expect that the Section 8 programs are going to be locked in, that we don't have to worry about losing Section 8 programs, not only in Los Angeles, San Francisco, but not only in California, but throughout the United States. I also believe that we need shelters for people, especially winter shelters, for the homeless who are drenched right now sleeping on the sidewalks.
Yes.
So I believe that there should be buildings, there's a lot of empty buildings that could be utilized for just that, especially during the winter.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
You know, I wanted to say something about CPS. They are taking people's children, they're giving you no voices, and they want to make every time somebody says something about or against you, they want to make you take medication when you don't need it. They want to take your children. They are really destroying the family. And for what reason? It's just that they know that your children is your power.
I would personally like to say in this economy that they tell you to go back to school and get training so that you can get a job. Homeless people are not lazy. I personally went back to school and I am a medical assistant. I am a medical builder and coder. I do have customer service skills, receptionist skills, and secretary skills. I'm unemployed and homeless. And it's not that I'm lazy, it's that the opportunities are not availing themselves to me and many people like me.
Yes, I would like to say to our United States government and to the people in the political arena that while y'all sleeping in your nice warm beds and eating your good food, be mindful of the ones that only had no food to eat or a bed to sleep in and just walking the streets and have no place to go. You know, be conscious of this and do something about it because it's in their power to help us to do something about this.
My daddy said there was two dangerous people in this world. There's a hungry man and a broke man. He wasn't planning on being neither one. So today, there is a danger with too many broke people and hungry people. Watch out, folks.
Homes, not jails. Homes, not jails. I can't hear you. Homes, not jails. Homes, not jails.
Homes, not jails.
I think the sister said it. I think we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's say it. We sick and tired of being sick and tired.
We're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
We'd rather fight on our feet than die on our knees.
We'd rather fight on our feet than die on our knees.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to keep it going. We're going to keep it going. As we said earlier, we have folks from up and down the West Coast, but we also have folks here today from the East Coast representing Philadelphia. We have Sherry Ancala from the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. Give her a big round of applause, y'all, all the way from Philadelphia. Round of applause for that. Yeah. See, you can't manufacture that. That's real passion. That's social justice passion.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tiny, daughter of the African Boricua Irish elder, without whom there would be no me. We were houseless in Frisco, in Oakland, and in LA. It makes my heart to know there's children like myself all over the U.S., but also globally, facing criminalization and arrest for the sole act of being houseless. And at Poor Magazine, we have hooked up with landless people's movements all over the globe. All of us, as landless peoples, we don't use the word homeless. As landless peoples, we need to link up with landless peoples in Brazil, in South America, in South Africa, in New York, in LA. One thing, the UN Declaration on Indigenous Peoples says we shall not be moved. Please, all the organizers all over the globe, look at that document. It's a powerful resistance movement document. I'm the welfare queen, part of Welfare Queens and Poetas Pobres at Poor Magazine. Check us out.
That was Tiny from the Poor News Network, speaking at the Rally for Affordable Housing in San Francisco, January 20th. Online, check them out at www.poormagazine.org. You're listening to R2S Radio here on Circle A Radio. Tonight we collaborate with the homeless empowerment group Right to Survive to bring you interviews from the rally and March for Affordable Housing, which took place in San Francisco on January 20th. As 1,000 or so homeless and formerly homeless folks and social justice activists marched up Market Street, it was interesting to engage with those on the outside of the march. Some people took pictures, stared with curious or frightened expressions, cheered, smiled, or raised a fist, while others just briskly walked past. We spoke with a number of people. Many said they had no opinion or didn't know enough about the issue, and others refused to talk. Here are voices of some of the people we met on Market Street.
Well, I think everybody should have a warm place to sleep, warm meals, so I think they should use the facilities provided here in San Francisco, if nothing else.
And what if there's not enough places for people to sleep? What do you think they should do?
I don't have the answer. I mean, more open doors. I don't know if the churches can pitch in with more shelters. I don't know who we reach out to, but yeah, it's a concern.
What about the government?
Everybody needs kicked down, right? Yeah. I mean, I think they should throw a couple ducats into it, too.
Think about 10 cities around.
I think if we cordon off areas to actually, you know, have people know that this is a welcome area for them, that might be a good solution.
I think something needs to be done because just the number of people, especially when you go walking by Union Square in that area, it's just really embarrassing when you bring people from out of the area and I don't know how to explain, you know, what's going on.
I'm Reba Mormon. I'm from Fremont, California.
What do you think about the housing situation in the United States of America?
It's terrible.
What would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see people not have their houses foreclosed. I think all the empty buildings that are sitting around should be used.
We want to know what's your opinion on affordable housing here in America or San Francisco.
I think it's something that we need to put a focus on, definitely. I think there's too much of a focus on big business and gentrification, and I just walked down, I haven't been in the city for a while, and they've beautified many streets with beautiful, expensive stores, but we're not taking care of the people. I think the money needs to be allocated in places that has a more humanitarian edge, definitely.
Excuse me, what do you think about homelessness in America?
A very complicated question.
Do you think housing is a human right?
A human right?
Yes. That everyone should have the right to have a house.
I think
or
so.
Housing.
Well, I donate a lot of money to homeless causes and I try to volunteer as I can.
I'm Ibrahim Mubarak. This is R2S Radio, complement of Cable Radio, Portland, Oregon. And we're here in San Francisco, California, at the last leg of our rap protest rally. And we're talking with an activist, homeless advocate here. If you'd like to state your name.
My name is Verbena.
What brought you here to San Francisco?
Well, I was excited to gather and talk and build power with more people who are fighting for dignity for poor people and human rights. The slogan around here has been house keys, not handcuffs. And so I'm real interested and involved in the struggle against criminalization of homeless people or houseless people.
You like that slogan. It's been many slogans here and many chants. And one that stick in your mind is house keys, not handcuffs.
I actually believe that every person should be able to be and be somewhere with dignity. So there's a lot of people for different reasons aren't necessarily going to want to be in a house or can't handle that. But I do think that people should have housing or have access to housing or have access to some safe place to be. To sleep, to take care of themselves, to eat, to meet with other people, the things that we do when we're housed, you know, to take showers, whatever it is that allows us to live with dignity.
What about the provision of the city's power to be? Don't they provide shelters and missions for people? What about that?
The big lie or the big thing that people use when, you know, you say housing is a human right or people need a place to be and they say, well, what about that mission or what about, isn't there shelters? I mean, all over the country people say that. They say, isn't there a shelter? And kind of cop out, not informing themselves or listening to the people when they say that, one, missions, aside from being religious, oftentimes you got to listen to a sermon or something like that or go through a breathalyzer, and that's the way the mission is in Eureka, aside from being really corrupt and like a prison. I find a lot of shelters to be like that. Even if you were all right with all those conditions, there's all these qualifications you have to get in to shelters. Like in Eureka, there's such a disparagement between the amount of shelter space and the amount of people that need shelter. And I believe that that's the way it is all over the country. I don't think that that system or the shelter system, which usually is not, well, where I live, it's not the government providing anything. It's like a church or a mission or something like that. But I don't think that that's even coming close to meeting concrete needs for people.
So you're adamant about that the government should take care of the people without shelter. I don't know if you like to use that word homeless. I like to use the word POC, people of circumstances. So you think the government should take care of them or provide for them?
Well, I got some complex issues with that. I mean, I do think that the way that the government proclaims itself to be providing services, and people pay taxes and they think that they're paying taxes to take care of people or those needs in an ideal situation, then I guess that that's what people would be invested in, is like taking care of each other. On the other hand, I don't think that when the government does say put up shelters in places, that it's much of a dignified situation. So what I've found is that people know how to take care of each other, especially people of circumstance. I like that, and I also always like to remember that circumstance is the system that creates houselessness and poverty, and not like personal deficiencies or things like that. People that have lived out on the streets or live outside or with little resources are the most resourceful and often generous people. That's what I've found in my life. So we also know how to take care of each other and get things done if we're allowed to. And that's where it gets rough, you know, because you're not allowed to be, you're not allowed to sit somewhere, you're not allowed to sleep a lot of the time, access to real basic things, or just being allowed to exist or take care of yourself or somebody else, it's systematically like prohibited through different ordinances and general harassment and profiling and all those kinds of things.
Are you glad you came to this rally in San Francisco?
Oh yeah, I got to meet you all and a lot of people and just make connections so we can support each other in the different actions that we do and tell more people, you know, prior to things happening, and just have a groundswell, you know, from below. We just build power and be connected. There's just something it's even hard to pinpoint or explain about everybody knowing and supporting what we're all doing and how powerful that can be. Just knowing that something's happening in another city can like inspire people, it can give us courage, it can bring more numbers, it can bring more awareness. So I'm excited that I was here. It felt real good.
That was Verbena from the People Project in Eureka, California. Check out their blog at peopleproject.wordpress.com.
I was lost, but now I'm found. I throw breadcrumbs on the ground and let the birdies show me the way home.
After an exciting 4-day trip, we returned home to the news that homeless people were being evicted from camps underneath the bridges in Portland. A number of folks from the caravan and allies came out to offer support to the folks who were being pushed out into the dark, rainy night. Music was provided by Barry Joe Stull.
I throw baloney up on my roof and push the crows, they're so aloof. They don't notice, or so it seems, but they see everything and tell me in my dreams I was lost, but now I'm found. I throw breadcrumbs on the ground and let the birdies show me the way home. You know, I went to Fred Meyer just a little while ago, and I saw at the counter that they had a tip jar there for relief in Haiti. And I learned at my trip to San Francisco that right now there are 30,000 more homeless people in Los Angeles than there are in Haiti. That means there's 70,000 to 90,000 people that are homeless in Los Angeles. I thought Los Angeles was an American city. Actually, I thought Los Angeles was the second most populated city in the United States.
And you see, here in Portland, we have a strange coincidence. We're underneath a bridge, and there's people being rousted out because they have no place to live, and they've been living here. And of course, that's not good. But right next door, we have Mercy Corps, who, of course, are rushing to save those poor unfortunates in Haiti, which I agree they should do. But I don't think we should have the conditions that we have in this country and in this city. And I noticed, as I was setting up here to entertain the troops as they were packing up, ready to go, that there was a newspaper, and it said something about our Major League Soccer deal going through. And of course, we're going to finance that money because the millionaire Paulsons are not millionaire enough for this town. We have to help them out and give them what used to be Civic Stadium, got turned into the ad PGE Park, and soon enough it will be Paulson's retirement plan. Well, Hansel and Gretel had an answer to that. You gotta go out in the woods, and you gotta find yourself in the wilderness, getting lost, eating sweets, and pushing the witch into her own oven. I was lost, but now I'm found. I throw breadcrumbs on the ground, and let the birdies show me the way home.
To R2S Radio for your collaboration. You can find out more about the right to survive at right2survive.blogspot.com. Coming up soon on KBOO will be the 13th annual Homelessness Marathon. This year it will be broadcast live from Detroit from February 23rd at 4 p.m. to February 24th at 6 a.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Thank you for listening to Circle A Radio. You can listen to past programs on our website, www.kboo.fm/CircleA Radio, and leave us comments there or by emailing CircleARadio@gmail.com. Our next show will broadcast February 17th. Thanks for listening.
I throw baloney up on my roof and watch the crows, they're so aloof. They don't notice, or so it seems. They see everything and tell me in my dreams. I was lost, but now I'm found. I throw breadcrumbs on the ground and let the birdies show. My home's planet Earth, and I'm sticking to it. I appreciate the gravity of the situation.
What's your opinion on the anti-camping law?
I think we should set up a tent city in PGE Park. And I think Mr. Paulson should show up and live with us for a while. See how the other 98.5% lives.